In a time of abundance, waste takes place and goes unnoticed because it becomes an acceptable part of the workplace landscape. And the easiest thing I can get try to help people relate to waste is, if it was your money, would you spend it like this? Unfortunately, we've had situations where managers have made decisions, and when I ask them that question, they say, no, if it was my money, I wouldn't have done it. And wasted kingdom dollars. And that's unconscionable to me. I don't understand how you do that. To me, you spend kingdom money like it was your money. You don't waste it just because, you know, we can tell you to write a check. Amen. So here is what we do in order to have good stewardship in the workplace. We purchase the best for less through negotiation. You never get what you deserve. You only get what you negotiate. And the way that the world operates is, they will never give you the best price unless you demand it. That's just the way it is. All right? Number two, every employee should pay for themselves or save us their salary. Amen. Thank you, Dr. B. Markoff. Every project should pay for itself and be profitable. That is, we believe that every event ought to take care of itself. You follow me? Now, of course, when you look at a missions project, that's totally different. We consider, of course, Life Change Institute a missions project. We supplement it. But projects on an ongoing basis, we believe that those events should all pay for themselves. Next is we do not reward behavior that we don't want repeated. And that is, if a person is not a good employee, we don't give them rewards. That's just it. Now, we had created, first 10 years or so here, we had created, if you just hang around, you're going to get a raise. If you just on board and you make your anniversary, you're going to get a raise. And that was bad, because we created a mindset in people that performance was not important. You know, it was just, you know, a pulse was the important thing. If you got a pulse and you showed up for work, then we don't reward behavior that we don't want to see repeated. Raises and increases are not automatic, but based on performance. Amen. Markoff 5 for sure. Yeah, raises and increases. But like I said, I created that problem by just making raises automatic. If you look at how we raise and how we give increases versus how average industry, not even talking about ministries, because average ministry does not give increases like we give them, by a long shot. And it just breaks my heart when y'all think I'm not fair. Amen. Because you check it, I challenge you, go check it. You go check it, and you will see it is not the norm the way what we do. Got it? All right. Executive management cannot make decisions without information. Should be without information. Without the proper information, I can't make decisions. In other words, when you want me to make a decision and you come because you stressed out, just, I said the stress look on your face is not enough. I need information. Dr. B needs information. No to your proposal is not no to you personally. And that is when an idea has been rejected, then don't take it personally. Don't say, you know, the next time I come up with you an idea. Well, I mean, you just simply decrease your value, because when people do bring ideas, I see that at least I have a person on staff who's thinking. You follow me? Your value comes up and your stock comes up every time you bring an idea to the table, whether it's accepted or rejected. At least you're thinking. You follow me? But if you never come up with any innovations and any improvements or any changes, then of course, I have no way of judging, you know, your creative potential. All right? Number eight, repeated waste should be the responsibility of the employee. Now, that's what I believe. That if you keep wasting money on a certain thing and you do it over and over, you know, the umpteenth time you're going to pay for it. Now, what the umpteenth is, I have not defined. But I think there comes a time when, you know, it becomes your ball of wax. I know I'm getting an amen on that. I know it wasn't. That's okay. Larry, you going to say amen? I think we had a situation. Boy, Larry just kept doing the same thing, and it bit him again. And I said, Larry, that's yours. He said, okay. He ain't squabble. He ain't cried. He ain't powder, nothing like that. He said, well, okay, because you told me the next time it's going to be mine. And I did it again. It was mine. And then I help him negotiate himself, you know, so he can make it less painful. Yeah, but that's to a point. I mean, you know, you can't just waste kingdom dollars. I move on. All right. Okay. Where we're now? Number what? Number nine. Unauthorized expenditures must be the responsibility of the employee. In other words, you go and commit us, and you didn't get it properly authorized. Then you bought that. Oh, we had an employee who did that. And they bought a whole bunch of stuff. And we went, who gave you the authority to do this? And it was something that had our name on it. And we said, and it wasn't something we wanted to do. And we did not authorize him to pay it. And he had to pay for that. He jumped the gun. And, you know, it was painful, but, you know, and he understood that he had messed up. He didn't take it through proper channels. It was his idea that he just wanted to get done. You know, I mean, it wasn't like he misunderstood somebody by saying, we're going to do it. He just ramrodded his idea, made the order and everything, and boom, all these things showed up, and we went, uh-uh. So, I mean, he's still on staff. Everybody happy. He didn't get upset because he knew he blew it. All right? Creators of profitable projects will be rewarded based on the net. And that is, from time to time, we have employees who come up with projects that are profitable, and we reward them based on the net, not the gross. Because we can take in gross dollars of maybe, let's say a project, we do a project made $5,000, but it costs $4,500 to do it. Didn't make but $500. You got it? And you be wondering, you know, y'all could have gave me half. I mean, and so you have to understand it's on a net basis. We're going to always be fair with you. All right? Do not solve problems by throwing, I believe, you don't solve problems by throwing money at the problem. And most of the time when people have a problem, first thing they think of is how can I throw money? And that's because you've been conditioned by the government to think that way. That's how Uncle Sam solves a problem, throws money at it. And I don't agree with the thing that most people say, that it always takes money to make money. I mean, and that's really a statement people make in order to justify an unjustifiable expense by saying, well, you know, it takes money to make money. Well, you have to justify it. So, and number 13, unprofitable ministry that is not our assignment can be eliminated. You don't believe me? Ask the school. We had much trauma with that elementary school when we disbanded, but that thing was sucking us. It was nothing. It was us. Woo, it was a parasite. That baby was sucking us. I mean, you know, the daycare center has always been profitable, but it sucked every penny out of that daycare center and more. I'm serious. And so we looked at it. We gave it time and gave it time. Then one year we tried just a marginal increase, and the parents told me, we'll leave, you know. And so I just said, okay. I was just like Jesus when he got ready to feed that 5,000. Bible said, Jesus said he already knew what he was going to do. I said, wait, I'm going to wait this baby out. At the end of this semester, we're going to let this baby go. And so after the trauma, you know, we made it. And, of course, my commitment was to Josie already, whether we had a school or not. And she had the option of whether she wanted to go in the industry or stay with us and stay with the plan. And you want to tell them what you told me, Josie? Put that on tape. Put that on the tape. Come on, quick. Put that on the tape. That need to be on the tape. Because I thought Joseph was going to leave. I really did. I thought she was going. Yeah.
You anticipated my departure.
No, I didn't anticipate your departure. Okay. I just thought that you would. I just thought you would leave. I just didn't think you'd hang.
You told me that.
I'm straight up. Yeah, I'm straight up.
I told Pastor that God did not tell me to leave and that I was going to stay with him.
I only did that to as a demonstration of our commitment. We made a commitment to her. And so just because we decided to disband the school, that didn't end my commitment to her. You follow me? And, you know, we could have just said, okay, Josie, you know, we appreciate you. We love you. Jesus loves you. Jesus is going to love you at the school district. No, but we said, okay, we've got plenty to do here. And there's always a place in our heart for Christian education. But at this time, that particular ministry and that particular project was something we was going to disband. And Joseph, of course, fit right in with everything else we've been doing. And, of course, we're getting ready to expand our Christian education to a whole nother level. We're getting ready to go to a whole nother level in this. No longer elementary school, but, you know, on a vocational college basis. Yeah. All right. Key thing is, all right, the perspective. And that is, I want you to get a perspective on our business, understanding what I call our church business. And we raise most of our money. Most of our money comes in through members given to the kingdom. And in the average church, on an average basis, when you add up all of the members on your file, you got to hear this now, not all the giving members, but all the members on your file as a whole, and you divide that against your total revenue, you will always come out with a number of somewhere between 1,800 and 2,500. That's not just the giving members. Giving members, you add just giving members, you come up with a whole lot more than that. But if you do it with just all the members, people who consider themselves members of your church, and a lot of them not giving a dime, you follow me? You take those giving, those family units, and you take that figure, you take your annual figure of tithes and offerings, and you'll see that it comes up somewhere between that. That has been true over the years. A year. Remember now, it's not your giving members. If you just took your giving members, that figure comes up a whole lot. But you're accounting for folk who are members, who are sitting on the pew, sucking up the air, praising the Lord, ain't giving a dime when offering time. You got it? So that figure has been, with ours, I think it's somewhere around 24. We're on the upper end. In places like the East Coast, West Coast, where the economy is higher, you know, you come up higher to the 25 and sometimes just a little over that. All right? Now, why is that important? That is important. Now go back to that. Go back to Destiny. I ain't finished with that. Go back to that. That's important because that means if, let's say ours is 2,500 or 2,400, okay? That a member, on an average, a family member gives that much. I can't impact enough membership to pay for my salary. Because all I have to do is take my salary, let's say a salary of, y'all give me one. Okay, let's take 50,000. All right. Anybody got a calculator? 50,000 and divided this about this into it gives me how many members? No. How many? 20? Okay, 20.8. All right. So I can impact 21 folk coming to my church and I paid for my salary if I'm making that. If I run 21 folk off, I think that's justifiable cost for me to run them off too. You know what I'm saying? Now I'm giving you a different perspective on it. You follow me? I want you to get a perspective on it. So to the degree that I positively impact members, I'm impacting my salary. You follow me? So if there's a person that I influenced to come to the church and they joined the church because of your influence, then that was a $2,400 impact. Y'all follow my thinking? You follow me? So I mean, to me, that's and look, I'm not saying in order to keep your job, you got to go out and win 20 people. You understand? Everybody understand? That's not what I'm saying. Britney said it wouldn't be a problem, however, but that's not what I'm saying. So I'm not saying that, okay, take your salary, divide it by that, and you better bring that many number of members in or you're hitting the door. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying my impact on members is an impact on my income. So to the degree I positively impact people in the church to stay in the church or people to come to my church, I'm affecting my salary. All right. Enthusiasm overwhelmed. I think y'all got to absorb that. Just got to, yeah. Take a few moments and let's just marinate that. Yes. Twelve people, period, because our average figure is based on people, period. You got it? So to the degree I bring that many people in or influence that many people, then that's the kind of positive impact I've had. You got it? Now, that's what I call perfect numbers. Because that doesn't account for attrition. You got it? And if you dealt with the attrition, then around 80% is attrition of people who come who don't stay. But on a perfect level, that's it. And that was only to give you an idea. You got it? So if you're there at the daycare center and you win 20 of them parents, come to the church, I mean, you have paid for your salary. You follow me? So if you're thinking like that, that makes every person important because people pay our salaries. And when managers are not sensitive to people, that's a problem.
Yes.
Because without the people, none of us get money. None of us get paid.
Amen.
You got it? So when I see people, a manager being insensitive to people, even if, you know, and I know, you know, I come to church, but church is our business. You got it? That's our business. And we don't always schedule when we have to be sensitive to people. That's our business. So as a manager, you know, if you see a situation going awry, even with a helps ministry person, I expect you to step in and try to help. You don't think that's wrong, is it? Okay. Let's go to the next one. Okay. The New Life product is an incredible spiritual experience that exceeds expectations. All right? It's a spiritual experience in excellence, spiritual education and exhortation, spiritual edification and encouragement, a spiritual enrichment and evolution, a spiritual engagement in evangelism. That's our product. That's what we sell. We sell an experience. Praise our Lord. All right? Factor three, the product on the economic efficiency is our promotion strategy is that we present the product with consistency. In other words, people should consistently experience same quality all the time and in any location. Got it? You know, to me, if you go to Austin, you ought to walk in there and have that New Light experience, sense that New Light presence. Same thing in Beaumont. All right? Make every visitor have a positive spiritual experience. And that's an individual job. The other day, I think I was talking to Malachi, and he was saying, because I was looking for him one Sunday, and he was saying, oh, we were sitting somewhere in the bag and all that. And I said, you know, I really like that, to see, you know, managers, high-profile people among the people, because you hear things back there where you may not hear up front. You got it? And to that degree, it helps us fine-tune ministry. But if all of us, you know, are sitting in our little elite spots, then we don't have any contact with the people that we really need to have contact with. And many times it may be a fine tuning. You got it? or helping us monitor our helps ministry. See, you got to see helps ministry people affect you.
That's right.
If they run folk off, they running off the ability to pay you.
That's right.
I'm serious. That's the way you need to see it. Because if we don't have the money, we can't pay. Y'all looked at me like, come on, Pastor. To make every member feel that we're sensitive to their needs. And, of course, to deliver the product efficiently through the most effective means. That's what the New Light Experience is all about. Next slide. All right. Factor four. All right. Wait. The product. Pitfall. What? Okay. You were doing such good. So good. All right. She's up too late, huh? Now you should be at the product. I said, what the product? Okay. You finished the product, so we should be at the pitfall.
Right.
Okay, but you didn't get all the pitfall. We're going to start with number eight. Okay. Here's the pitfall to efficiency. I'll give you 1 through 7, and she's got 8. Number one is overstaffing. That's why church gets in trouble. Most churches that get in trouble, they get in trouble with overstaffing because everybody always need a person. Churches that you see having to have layoffs, major ministries have had layoffs. And that comes when you're overstaffed. And I hope you can appreciate what I'm about to say. I would rather keep all of us working all the time, got it, at a level of peak performance than to overstaff us and then have to lay off somebody down the line.
Amen.
Got it? I would rather even change some dates, some due dates. You got it? So I wouldn't have to hire other people so that I could keep us lean, you got it? So that we could keep a good, strong staff, keep giving raises, then to just overstaff everybody where everybody got, somebody to pick up the paperclip over here. I have seen churches get in serious trouble and have serious layoffs, and that's the main reason. They lose that stewardship level there. John Osteen told me something years ago. He told me, Brother Ira, travel light. I mean, that was his watchword, travel light, because I got to tell you, we see that all the time in big ministries, all the time. And it's a painful thing. It's painful for the people. Then it's painful for the church to go through it. You follow me? It's just caused so much pain. And that's why, before we hire somebody, I want to make sure, do we really need them? And that's because I don't want to ever get to the place where I've got to decide, well, who's going to go. And y'all don't want me to get to that place, do you? Okay, praise the Lord. Good place to clap. Good place to clap. Okay, good place to appreciate us running lean. You got it? I mean, I'm trying to give you an appreciation for it, why we don't just go out and just hire. That's the pitfall. That's a major pitfall with churches. Can I get a witness, Dr. B?
Yeah.
You all don't see some of the stuff that we see and know. Major players get into this. Getting this factor. And that's because they start trying to accommodate people higher and higher. And that's why that payroll go up so high, that baby get out of control so quick.
Yes.
And then, see, you have to understand, anytime we hire a person, it's not just their salary, but there are other factors, the benefit factor that comes in. We have to pay, 7%?
7.65,
matching FICA and Medicare and all that kind of stuff. And then we have to pay 50% of their insurance. You follow me? All of that stuff adds up. And so I know, like everybody wants somebody, but I got to say, let's make sure we need them. We don't want a straw to break the camel's back. You got it? And, I praise the Lord. We've never had to come to that point. Never want to come to that point. Never will in Jesus' name. Okay. All right. Wasted supplies. Wasted supplies. Wasted time. Okay. When we carelessly damage equipment, that's just not taking care of equipment and it gets damaged because you're wasting money. Poor planning. Well, we don't plan ahead enough to get the best deals. The American way of solving problems. That was number six, and that is throwing money at it. Number seven, not maximizing our human resource pool. Now, we never planned it to be this way, but it just turned out this way. That because of Life Change Institute, we have a tremendous 24-hour human resource pool. We never planned it that way. It was never in the plans that we're going to do this so we'll have these men to help. But since they are there, after they reach a certain point in the program, and I think they're helping what they're doing with the women, helping the other things too, that it's just a good thing. So there are areas that's good. Well, I think they come in and help clean some of the buildings. Got it? Do things like that, and of course with maintenance around the place. That's great, and we want to do that. The other human resource pool we have is all the members, all the volunteers, and I think because of, I guess it was because Katrina this year, we just exploded our volunteer hour numbers, didn't we? What were they this year? About five times what they normally were, wasn't it? About 38,000? 38,000 volunteer hours. 38,000 volunteer hours. Yes. Just. Wasted utilities. Wasted utilities. And that's all of us need to understand. We need to help cut lights out. See a leaking water faucet or something like that. Need to let somebody know that's not free water. Amen. It's those small things. Bible says little foxes spoil the vine. Those little small things that we need to do. We need to check up on. And of course, you know, we're taking on a whole nother complex. And so we just have to be real frugal in what we do and how we do things. You know, making sure our lights that's supposed to go out, go out. It all adds up. And I know, that's a light. No, you take that light, you multiply it time all them other lights. And that's cha-ching. That is money. All right. Improper equipment maintenance. And that is, you're getting longer life out of the equipment if we take care of the equipment. And that goes from the video department with real expensive equipment down to the vacuum cleaners that just need to be taken care of. To the degree that we take care of them, we're going to maximize their life. Rewarding unacceptable behavior. And that is when you just give people, I made that mistake, I'll tell you I made it. Well, we must just start giving people raises and all that kind of stuff just because they were, you stayed here a year. But we stopped that. You lose credibility when you spend money on something that does not yield the promised return. Please hear me on this. When you spend money and you tell me that this money is going to do X, Y, and Z, and we spend the money, then I come in and I see the piece of equipment over in the corner. Next time you ask me for some money, yes, indeed. Jesus might have to tell me to give it to you. Next time you want to buy something. You follow me? Because if we're buying stuff and not using it, that's wasteful. You got it? Now, so nobody won't bring the question up. Okay, if something was bought before you got here, before you took over the management of it, and it's not being used, that's not charged to your account. You got it? If you bought it and you told me it was going to solve the problem and it didn't solve the problem, then I got a problem with you. You have to be ready to defend your purchase. I think we got to do the got ready to do the closed captioning. That was a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Closed captioning costs what, $25,000? Huh? $30,000. Oh, Jesus. $30,000. And so then I had a guy call me and told me we could have named that tune for about, what, seven?
$5,000 or $6,000.
You talking about I got upset? I got upset and I got on the phone. And I want to know how in the world we spent $7,000. I mean, we spent $30,000 and we could have named that tune with at seven. You talking about I had to do some talking and defend it. But they were on their game. They were on their game. They were on their game and they explained it to me. All I wanted was some answers. That's all I wanted was some answers. Just give me some answers. And they gave the right answer. And they were right. Because what this other guy was talking about, if we had gone his route, it may have been more. Because he wasn't telling the whole story. He was talking about just a piece of software. But to run the software, you got to have a machine. And you got to create a whole nother system. And we had gone that route to create a whole nother system. You know, the dollars amount were going to be very similar, and we would not have had the level of control because we couldn't do what he was doing because our operation is not like his operation. We could not sacrifice a production suite for that. We had to create a whole nother production suite. But they had the answers, and that's all I wanted was the answers. We was on the phone late that night, weren't we? We was on the phone late that night, and Eric would give me his answers, and Dwayne, you know, whenever Dwayne gets real nervous, he starts stuttering. I said, calm down, Dwayne. Calm down. I'm not upset. I just need to know. You need to be able to tell me why you spent all this money. You follow me? And then we start going through process and procedures and how it's getting done. And then finally, I got the answer. I said, okay, I see then. Because I was just thinking through the whole thing. I said, okay, I see why y'all went this way. Because we couldn't have gone that other way because it would have handicapped how we were producing our thing. We couldn't get out what we were doing. And we was going to take that software, put it on a present machine, and try to do it. We would shut down our whole operation. You got it? So they did it the best way. They spent 30 grand, but that was the best way to go. I had no problem with it. 30 grand spent. Hey, praise the Lord. Just believe it in. How many members he need, bring? Okay. So, he need how many members? 12.5 members have to come in because of that. So we're gonna put a spot on the card. Are you here because of closed captioning? You brought them in your circle of light, huh? Okay. That's okay. It don't matter. It don't matter just so they come in the door. Just because new people come in the door. Come through the circle. I mean, hey, it don't matter. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, so in procurement, in buying things, obtaining things, start the bidding process in time. Most of the time what happens here is we miss out because the bidding process doesn't start in time. And we end up in a crunched moment and we lose our leverage because we don't have time to go somewhere else. When you know you got to spend the money, that's the time to start getting your bids in. That's the time to put your feelers out. Even if you don't have all of the information, you need to get enough information to start knocking on doors. What happens during the process of this is you start learning more about what it takes to get done what you need done. All right, number two, educate yourself as much as possible on the purchase. And this process many times will start your education. Number three, good stewardship requires 2 to 3 bids. I don't like to just deal. We found it in the past. When we deal with just one vendor for a long period of time, they start sticking it to us. That's the way it is. They get real comfortable with us. And so every now and then we have to chastise them by going out, getting a bid. And I think I don't want to mess this business up, but, you know, one person we've been doing business with, and I think it was in the printing area. And we went and found another printer that did it almost at half price, didn't it? Half price. And we've been doing, we did like about $250,000 with this printer every year. Now, to me, I wouldn't risk $250,000 by trying to price gouge my client. But what happened is, you know, we just start trusting them. And they just picked their price up. And so we found somebody else to do it, and they got chastised. So now, of course, they want to talk to us. You got it? They want to talk to us because they, you know, praise the Lord. But you got to do that. Number four, learn from every bid proposal about the prodigal service. And we found that out, especially in construction, that when we get a bid on something from one guy, he may see something that needs to be done that the other guy didn't see or the planners didn't see. And all that goes into the process of fine-tuning. And then determine the reliability of the vendor. Check their references. Determine the quality of the vendor by requesting samples of what they do and what they've done. All right. Negotiate vendors. Negotiate the best price and performance dates. In other words, you got to, when you negotiate price, you also have to negotiate performance. Can you do it in the time frame we need it done? Select the most economical, reliable vendor. So of the three bids or two bids, I always, you know, so they're bidding apples to apples. I want the best price, best performance date. One guy may be give you a better, may be able to give you a better price, but his date is 2 months off. Well, we're not bidding apples and apples. So I always want to make sure that that's the case. I select the most economical, reliable vendor. We don't always go with the cheapest person. If the cheapest person is not reliable, then and it's a time-sensitive issue, we won't do it. Negotiate the payment to safeguard our recourse. In other words, we like to pay as much as possible by credit card, especially when it comes to certain purchases, because if they don't follow through, we can cancel. A lot of times people get your money, especially when it's a check or cash, they get your money, and then if they don't follow through, then you got to take them to court and sue them, and we don't even want to go through that. So a lot of times, most of the time, we like to try to do it by a credit card. That way we got American Express that can get on them if they don't perform. All right. Request the final agreement proposal or contract in writing. All written contracts should pass through legal. And then contact the vendor to inform them of their selection. Of course, we sign and that sort of thing. All right. Personnel and efficiency. Monitor staff performance through task measurement. In other words, unless you are monitoring your staff performance, you've come up with a way to measure that performance, there's no way when it's time to add staff that you have a justifiable way to document it other than we just busy. We just got too much work. And, of course, many times we rescue you from that, but I think you need to be able to, for instance, take the tape ministry. I think you should be able to know if you need a person. You should know how many tapes a person can produce. So as your tape volume increases, then you know I need another person. You follow me? I mean, that's just a real simple illustration, but that's the kind of thing we need. Repairing our computers. If we see the repair time going up and we see we're maximizing our people, it's at that time then we need to say, okay, we can see why we need to hire another person, because last year we spent, you know, 200 hours repairing computers. We already maxed 200 hours out in February. So we can see that we got a problem. You got to document and track things. That's the best way to defend whatever proposal that you give us. Monitor staff stress levels and minister to them. And that is, if people can be overworked, and if you don't monitor it, it's a diminishing return. They're not going to be able to give you their best. When you talk about stress levels, of course, you know, I believe we ought to be sensitive to people with everything that they go through, because they're your staff and they got to feel that you care. At the same time, they cannot use that as an excuse for long-term non-performance. You follow me? We're sensitive, but at the same time, we have a job to do, and we can't let that, we can't let a person's personal problems and issues become a distraction in the workplace. Monitor staff during staff. Is that mine? She should have edited. Blame her. No. Well, forget number three. I ain't going to make nothing up. I don't remember what I was talking about on that one. Hey, forget number three. What's that? Modern staff doing continuous. That's continuous. That's what it is. Continuous increase of workload. That's what it is. That's what it is. Praise the Lord. We got it together. All right. Yes. All right. And that's all she wrote. Now, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Okay. Now, what time is it now? Oh, outstanding. 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 Here is your assignment. Okay. We're now up to question and answer and management interaction, which we've been doing all day, which has been so good. You all have been interacting with each other. On you should have a page where it calls Extreme. It's titled Departmental Department Stream Makeover. Okay. Here's some personal things. I don't need you to give these to me. Got it? But I need you to decide. Look at these over the weekend and time, and come up with items here. Operational improvement items. What can you do to improve the quality of your operation? Personal excellence improvements, work area improvements, and management improvement relationships. And we'll probably have another meeting where we need to have more of these. And I commit to you that we will have more. You want to say something? You want to say anything?